because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 388-4643.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 4 minutes in, and a couple of things as we wait for Jenny Reese. The hearing Jason Beam's voice on the University of Arizona program commercial reminds me of yesterday, and very irksome situation where you had a pick five carryover. In fact, Gus had handicapped, and he had texted me. He said, they're taking it off the turf, and I was doing something with Tina, and actually we may have been, we had a fire here, a big fire downtown yesterday, and we may have walked down to see what was going on, and it turned out to be a bad situation. But Gus was texting me, and he said, I'm trying to make the changes, and he just didn't have the time. They took races off the turf, like seconds, seemingly minutes ahead of the start of that pick five sequence. And nothing is more of an insult to players, and just not it's a practice that, just as infuriating. We also got to talk at some point too. I got that DQ on Saturday in that third race. It was a weird DQ. When watching it live, it didn't look like anything. The head on seemed to maybe Drayden Van Dyke with the stick kind of waving at it, and maybe, I guess, I don't know, waving in front Johnny Velasquez. I intimidating. I weird. It was a. The reaction with, sometimes it's 60-40, 70-30, 80-20. This one was like 95-5. So. We'll get to those two frustrations and annoyances early this week. I've also got something exciting at TRF has got some exciting news. We'll get to that probably tomorrow with Kim Weir. Right now, Jenny Reese is going to be the first of a series of visitors to pay tribute to Billy Reid. And at the beginning of the show, I talked about my own relationship over the last 15 years with Billy, and what a, for me, I mean, to become friendly with somebody like a Billy Reid, who literally was a legend and a deserved. I mean, some legends are not everybody agrees with. Others, you absolutely acknowledge. For Jenny Reese and countless people in Kentucky who were contemporaries or potentially like Jenny, came along and worked with Billy, a chance for him to be a mentor. And as Marty wrote yesterday, it was Billy's writing that inspired him to be in turf writing. And that's the kind of, that's the kind of journalist that Billy Reid was. Jenny Reese, appreciate you visiting.
Oh, I appreciate you doing this show, Steve, on Billy. Yeah, he was, at the time, I think people, at the risk of sounding like an old fart, some of the younger generation don't appreciate how big he was and how important that role was of the sports columnist at the biggest newspaper in the state, and it was one of the biggest newspapers in the region at the time, the Courier Journal. At the time, the Courier Journal circulated, had delivery in all 120 counties in Kentucky. But, you didn't have the competition from so many different media sources and outlets. It was and Billy carried the title sports editor. While he didn't have the administrative obligations, he carried a lot of weight at the newspaper. And certainly there were other sports columnists, but I don't know of anybody that's had the magnitude of Billy going through, even when you go back to some of the clips for some of, over the decades and things like that. It's hard for me to come up with another person that was as strong as Billy was at the Courier Journal. And, thinking about it, I don't think that there's another person in the history of the Louisville newspapers that had the institutional knowledge that Billy had. And the good news is he kept records. He kept all his clips and everything, and he's donated them to Bellarmine University. So that's good. He's not somebody that, didn't archive things, all of his papers. And I think maybe even, Jim Bolas was this late, great Jim Bolas, and they were great friends the same way. Kept all of his notes, and I can't imagine, I can't read my handwriting, and now, you're on a digital, on an iPhone or something, and you just record over, but, Billy, he was there throughout the whole Muhammad Ali's career from, when he was starting out in Louisville as Cassius Clay, he covered Rupp, I learned this from, I think, Eric Crawford's column, that he exchanged, or maybe it was the Courier Journal, but that Billy exchanged letters. He used to have a regular correspondence with Bear Bryant when, he had gone on to Alabama. Just remarkable. And, of course, he was around for the real halcyon days, the 1970s in horse racing. And he was part of a group, when I first came around and covered my first horse race with the fall of 83, and then my first Triple Crown race to cover would have been the 84 Derby. But Billy was part of a group of, like, adult summer camp, a group of great columnists, Edwin Pope, Sam McCracken. Some of them were general sports columnists. Some were, the racing columnists, of course. Bill Christine, Ed Duckworth. I mean, they went from town to town, and I was so excited to be included in those groups, going to Esposito's. It's a have a few drinks with them after the races at, outside of the stable gate at Belmont Park. And it was, you don't see that with columnists anymore. I mean, what's a sports columnist now? Like, I'm looking at the we have Tim Sullivan at the Courier Journal, and he is a columnist, but everybody's basically a columnist anymore. So I think you just don't have that one person that that everybody reads. But beyond that, Billy, again, I can't emphasize how big he was at the paper. I mean, I started out working the copy desk in the sports department, and Billy was an incredibly fast and clean writer. But he had strong opinions, and they were his opinions. So sometimes you're thinking, gee, I wouldn't have said it this way. But Billy, things were black and white with him. I remember one time editing a column of his, and it was about soccer. And he said, "I'd rather watch paint dry." And I'm thinking, it's going to be a whole lot of calls. I'm glad I'm not working tomorrow morning. And sure enough, but Billy, I think he really thrived on that. If you were his friend, you were his friend. Bobby Knight, for the longest time, he really defended him. And Drew Diener was a local talk show host here in town several years. Yeah, Billy was co-host on Tuesdays, was saying that how really close personal friends Billy was with some of the people that he covered, that I'm not so sure maybe some of the national broadcast personalities it's that way, but I don't know that you really see quite that anymore. But Billy, well, he taught me so much. I was very lucky to have Billy, Jim Bolas, and the late great Mike Berry working for the afternoon paper when I first started covering horse racing, and they all really took me under their wings. And Billy and Jim really, I wouldn't be here talking to you today. I don't think it's over-exaggerating to say if Billy hadn't stepped in at one point when, for the first time, it was going to become a full-time assignment, horse racing. I'd been doing it part-time while also working the copy desk. And so they were merging the two staffs of the afternoon paper and the Courier, and so all of a sudden racing became a really good job. And so the managing editor at the time, who was a very good friend and another titan of journalism, David Hoff, of Billy's, but he had somebody else in mind. And Billy, just unbeknownst to me, wrote a just scathing, memo to management about if you do this to her after she's, worked so hard, blah, blah. And, I ended up being, staying on as the racing writer. And so here I am. But that was thanks to Billy. Billy was a great champion of equality and equal opportunity for women and minorities, for all people. But he could, he could be tough. He could have a tough opinion and wouldn't back down from it. But, people are giving him, rightly so, he's probably maybe the number one reason that UK and U of L started playing basketball on a regular basis, each other. Because he would write about it and kept pushing, and he had the platform, and people listened to him.
That I saw that widely recognized, and I had heard that, but I had somewhat forgotten about it because there had been that extended period where they didn't play, and his drum beating for it. You reference a few things, Jenny, that I'm sure others will also echo, but he was not everybody's favorite, and that didn't bother him. He had the opinions. In fact, Dave Kindred's quote, strong opinions expressed strongly. If you were, if you fell into his crosshairs and he had something, an impression, a negative impression or something, that he was not going to be, he was not going to be deterred. He was not afraid of, saying so.
Yeah, he was black or white, but I guess it's kind of like what they say about if somebody, with advertising publicity, if you can't get somebody to say something good about you, then they hope they say something bad because at least they're saying something. I think that was the way with Billy, that if you weren't going to really, like his column, he was probably happy you hated it because you would read to see what you could get mad at him about. And people had opinions. I think the worst thing you could be as a columnist that nobody cared what your opinion was one way or the other. But Billy, and I guess one thing that makes me so sad talking about that group that, you know, like the, you know, Furman Vischer and Edwin Pope and Billy, that for the columnists of the day, racing was part of it. They all covered the Derby, and it was important to them. And that's so changed, as you know. And I think part of it is, my theory is, they've made these people such personalities, so many of them, that they're not really journalists, they're personalities. And if they don't understand something, they just don't cover it, rather than learning it. And I think that's one thing that's, you know, hurt horse racing, that you don't have these prominent journalists that considered the Kentucky Derby as important to cover as, well, Billy used to always cover the Sugar Bowl when it was always the SEC champion, you know. But, you know, like the Final Four or well, I'm just trying to think what in my market is bigger sure. than the Derby and the Final Four of it. And I said, there wasn't a playoff for football, but he'd always cover the SEC. But, you know, he was a great champion for horse racing and for horse racing coverage. And, you know, towards the end, he really became, I think he mellowed. And he became, I think, a real ambassador. And I'm sorry that more media outlets didn't take advantage, again, of that institutional knowledge and have him write, you know, occasional columns. I'm really happy the Northern Kentucky Tribune, you know, he worked, did some work for them. You know, and he really enjoyed covering Bellarmine basketball for Louisville Catholic Sports and stuff like that. Kind of reminds me, in a way, of Dave Kindred. That how he, you know, there was that great 60-minute piece about how he's covering his local high school girls basketball team. He started covering it. That these Titans just doing it for the enjoyment of being the sports writer. But I do think that Billy, like I think he mellowed a little bit. I think there was many years he didn't care what people think, and I think he thought towards the end, I think he maybe cared more about that. But he really. You know, I sort of make the comparison with his great friend Wayne Lucas, kind of mellowing, you know, and being this elder statesman for the industry. And I'm just very sad, you know, that we don't have, you know, those old newspaper men in the true sense.
Well, there, you know, as much as he may have mellowed, there was one contentious relationship that never that he never shrank from or backed off. That was what really was an ongoing war with Dr. Harthill. And even after Harthill was gone, I remember having, and I it's here somewhere because I don't throw anything out, Jenny, but I can remember from maybe 20 years ago, he wrote a three-part piece for, it might have been the forerunner of Leo, the weekly. Do you remember this?
I remember that Dr. Harthill took out a billboard, right? You know, disparaging of Philly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, isn't that funny that the first time he met Dr. Harthill decked him? I didn't realize till reading that story that was the first time he had met him.
Speaking of
people that were hardcore.
Yeah. Well, hardcore is an apt description. But that was a three-piece, that was a 3-week or 3-episodic piece that Dr. Derby was what it was called. And I've got somewhere I saved it. And it was a remarkable, series of of Derby history when you talk about you know, his institutional knowledge. And I mentioned earlier this morning I'm pretty sure it was an Oaks morning, parking, you know, in the media lot and getting on the school bus to come over to the building to broadcast the Friday show. And there were like a couple of photographers, I think, and there was me and Billy, and I got to spend a good, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and I really enjoyed it. And he was always very gracious with me whenever I would, you know, reach out to him to come on the show. And I consider it a real privilege that I got to know him to the extent I did.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, he actually ended up being at the Herald Leader for more years than he was at the Courier Journal, and possibly even more at Sports Illustrated. Of course, his second tours of duty with the Herald Leader and Sports Illustrated, he was, I think, doing some stuff for both. But people always equated him with the Courier Journal. And years later, people would, you know, we still get mail for him and stuff. And people just thought that he still worked there. So, and, you know, you're just not going to see that kind of icon. It was, again, the position of the sports editor in that market, or because that's his title, but really sports columnist. But he also had the personality that made it that, because like there were other sports columnists and guys like Earl Cox, and they had a lot of followings, like, but nothing like what Billy was. And one thing is, Billy, he you know, grew up in the south end of Louisville. Then he went to Mount Sterling. I'm not sure the chronology, but he didn't. He really had to work for everything that he got. You know, just thinking about, kind of, I wish I knew more about exactly all that. But I loved hearing the stories about him. I mean, he was just as like, even in high school, I think he started maybe working for the Herald Leader. You know, maybe, I don't know if it was stringing and stuff, and just somebody that, you know, didn't have a lot, and sure made a whole lot out of him. I think he'd be the first to say there were a lot of things he sacrificed because he was so, the job was like everything. And but one thing I will say, he sure loved his two daughters. He was so proud of them and loved them, and his grandkids. But he, I think there were times that he probably paid some prices because work was number one with him. He was relentless. He was writing 5 days a week and sometimes six for year after year. That's hard to keep that up. Hmm. But he Mike said he was fast and he was clean. I remember editing, and I tried to look it up to see which fight it was. It was overseas, and I want to say it was one of Ali's fights, and maybe the only one that the time frame fit was Ali's last. But Steve, I don't know if you ever had like those, remember those old Texas Instrument machines when we were first trying to, you know, before we really had laptops and computers. Oh, you couldn't. I mean, those guys that wrote then were so good, because you couldn't just move stuff around like you can now. You can't cut and paste and go back and this and that. And it was right on deadline, and I was editing, which means I was making sure he didn't have any typos and putting a headline on it, but from this fight. And it came in so fast and so clean, and I just can't imagine how organized you have to be in the brain, you know, and guys like Red Smith, how they did that. But he did. And he's, you know, I guess there's going to be a celebration of life, you know, in the spring. And I think it would be really great, and Billy would love it, to have everybody just sitting around, maybe having a few adult beverages and telling stories about Billy Reid.
Well, they've already gotten a sense of that, and we're gonna have Scotty Davenport join us, and Eric Crawford as well, and Judy Klaibs. You mentioned the Northern Kentucky Tribune.
Yeah, I mean, she goes back farther with him than anybody. You know, she went to college UK with Billy. So I'm glad you're having her on.
Well, Jenny, I appreciate your visit, and we'll spend the next half hour with those other three guests, and I'm sure next chance we get to talk to Wayne Lucas. Reached out to Wayne; he's tough to reach in the mornings. And Denny Crum too. Denny Crum would be appropriate.
I mean, he would really, Denny, because, again, get back to the UK U of L and what Billy did. That was certainly something that Denny Crum really wanted to happen. And it's a whole different world, how close he was with people he covered. Bobby Knight and that he's one of a kind. And we can debate whether that's good or bad. That he's
it was both. It was both.
He was both. And I got to say, I mean, my overwhelming thing is just what he did for me. And, yeah, there were times he could drive you crazy, I admit. Like when I first started covering racing, and he was a columnist, and he would keep changing his mind at the last minute when he was going to write about. Of course, we had to always react to it. But he was so responsible for so much of my career. That especially as you get older and you get, the perspective and stuff, that Billy, he earned all the respect that he had, and I guess he earned the credit.
Exactly right.
They read him.
That's right. No matter which way you leaned, you were going to read them, and you were going to applaud along, or line the parakeet cage. One or the other.
That's right.
Jenny, thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. See you down the road.
You bet, Jenny Reese, everybody, and waiting in the wings and listening in. Scotty Davenport of Bellarmine, and of course the coach of the champion Division II champions about 10 years ago, and undoubtedly that was something that Billy loved. And Scotty, I saw the video from the press conference after the game the other day, and could tell how much Billy Reed meant to you. Thanks for joining us,
Steve. This is an honor, and I just want to be like Jenny when I grow up. I've changed all my goals. I've reassessed everything. Steve, all you need to know about me and Billy Reed is the front door of Churchill Downs is on Central Avenue. The address is Central Avenue. I grew up on Central Avenue my whole life. A lot of people had a swing set in their backyard. I had a basketball goal, and I had Churchill Downs. So you can imagine the respect of being a sports nut, delivering the morning paper, the afternoon paper, and reading Billy Reed write about thoroughbred racing that's happening in my backyard. There was no mass transit. There was no parking. I mean, we parked in our yards. We made money at 10 years old for the Kentucky Oaks, for the Kentucky Derby. But I'm reading it daily about Billy Reed. Fast forward, my life changes. I lose my dad at 9 years old. Halloween day, 15 feet from me, 1:15 in the afternoon. And sports filled a void in my life unlike anything could have ever done. And a big part of that was reading about sports from the likes of Billy Reed. Now, fast forward, coaching takes me on an incredible journey of life. The spring of 2005, I'm an assistant to Coach Pitino at the University of Louisville. We go to the Final Four, and I take a Division II head coaching job 2.5 miles down the street from the University of Louisville, where I have 2 degrees and 39 hours over my master's from. But I take this job in a program that won 9 games the year before. 6 years, we win a national championship, and one of the thrills in my lifetime is Billy Reed was there every step of the way. He and the, what's important, Steve, he didn't have to be. He wasn't writing for Sports Illustrated about Bellarmine. And he believed in the values that we shared on and off the court with our players. Next thing you know, he's a fixture in our locker room every game, pregame. I put pictures out yesterday of him wearing proud Bellarmine gear. And I was with Billy 3 weeks ago. And Saturday night, we had a game. We did a moment of silence in honor of Billy Reed. And I was having my collective thoughts till I looked up and I saw him on the scoreboard on that huge video wall. And it just ripped my heart out, because the one thing, and Jenny, she touched on it. Billy told you how he felt.
Yeah.
You didn't like it. But he told you how he felt. When I was with him 3 weeks ago, he was Billy, and all he was worried about was making others better. Well, can I get you help doing this? Can I get you help to do this? Can you grow it this way? And I walked out of there, and, you know, extraordinary people are like extraordinary basketball players. They make others better. We can all learn from Billy Reed, because he made others better. It wasn't about him. And, you know, from somebody who was a youngster reading this Hall of Fame journalist, and then he's in our locker room every day. You know, one of the things that hit me late Saturday night, and it just came down to support and different reasons, but when we won the national championship, and you brought that up, he wanted to write a book so bad on that run, because he'd been with us every step of the way. And I just wondered, boy, would that have been what kind of read would that have been, you know? Just because that was his skill and that was his talent. But he loved our basketball program. Players he was one of us. I mean, he was. And his knowledge of thoroughbred racing, he would tell you in a heartbeat. You mentioned Wayne Lucas, some insights. If you don't think thoroughbred racing's touched me, I was a high school coach for most of my career. The hardest thing in high school sports is fundraising, right?
Sure.
I mean, it is. It's a challenge. You want to have great equipment. You want to take trips. You got to have fundraising. Your listeners will love this. We started a day at the races with Wayne Lucas, and it would always be on a Sunday in the fall, and we would sell out 80 tables of eight, 640 people, and Wayne Lucas would speak with them. We'd have the likes of Billy Reed there, all these people, and in one day, all our fundraising was done, because two extraordinary human beings were trying to help these high school kids live their dreams on the court. The day at the races with Wayne Lucas would be 80 tables of eight up on the Sky Terrace, you know, Millionaires Row. And they were the first to get there and the last to leave. See, you know, you brought up about Wayne. I mean, you know, we don't know each other. People make fun of me because I laugh all the time that I'm the luckiest coach who's ever coached any sport, any level, male, female, from junior high to the NBA or the NFL or MLB or NHL. I'm the luckiest. I coached under two Hall of Fame coaches at Louisville. But I've had people like the Billy Reeds, the Wayne Lucases. They've done so much. They've done so much. And, you know, we need them. We need extraordinary people right now. And we lost a true superstar Saturday in Billy Reed. We lost a true superstar.
then, Scotty, you mentioned when you refer to the Hall of Fame coaches, Denny Crum and Rick Pitino, and Wayne, Billy, Muhammad Ali, Paul Hornung. Billy was kind of like the hubcap in a spoke, with the spokes of all of the Bills personalities, particularly the sports personalities. But he also, he rubbed elbows in Frankfurt and with the governors and everything else. But he was really, it always seemed to me, the center of what is a vibrant sports community, that you're obviously, decades a part of, and whether it was, coaching high school or, working as an assistant at Louisville, and now this tremendous run you've built at Bellarmine.
Well, Steve, when you evaluate talent and you recruit, et cetera, one of the most, we can all break them down analytically in terms of rebound, shooting percentage, points per game, free throw percentage, assist turnover. We can all do that. But, to answer your question, how that relates to Billy, and you mentioned the who's who, the Mount Rushmore of Louisville. Well, the reason they were so comfortable with Billy, because he cared. And when you evaluate talent, one of the things that's overlooked is talent is caring. Caring is a very, very special talent. That's a very special talent that is not possessed by everyone. And Billy Reed, he cared if it was his church, St. Francis of Rome, or if it was Bellarmine basketball, or I noticed in the obituary this morning, all the benefits were going to the healing place. What was he doing? He was making others better. So if you're Wayne Lucas, Muhammad Ali, Coach Crum, if you're Paul Hornung, Scott Davenport, you would embrace a talent like Billy Reed because he legitimately cares. And again, we can all learn. Billy Reed was a wealth of knowledge. That's been well documented. Billy Reed was a tremendous person. Wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. I know when I was with him 3 weeks ago, he kept telling me how proud he was of me. And I'm like, Billy, let's talk. What can we do, Kimmy? How are we going to get this? Oh, I'm going through PT. And then he immediately would say, well, those people in PT, well, they do amazing things with me. So he's always talking about others. And I kept trying to refer back to him. I said, Billy. And, it's 78. It just seems like a loss, but I know this.
Yeah.
It's hard-pressed to find anybody love the Kentucky Derby more than Billy Reed.
I got to ask because of your the fact that you came up in the era. I had to reference from a couple of weeks ago his what has been taken as something of a low blow toward Joe B. And
Steve, we talked about it.
What did he say? Because that was Billy Reed. What a send off! It's classic Billy. That's one of the last things that's going to be recalled.
No, thank you for asking. We talked about it. He said, Scotty, it's amazing. It's amazing, Steve. It's kind of off the rails. People in the South End, where I'm from, and Billy was born in the South End of Louisville, or he moved to the South End too. But they call me Scotty. People in the East End or people Barbara call me Scott or Coach. It's amazing. But Billy, I was always Scotty. And he said, Scotty, I would never do anything to hurt Coach Hall. And I just stared at him. Like, okay, you got me. I'm listening. He said, Coach Hall was under so much pressure following Adolph Rupp.
Fair point.
That he had to be restrained because everything was going to be looked at. Now, this is pre-Twitter, pre-social media, and he still felt that. And all he was trying to convey was that, you know, Coach Crum came from UCLA. He had different expectations. I'm not saying they were not high, but they were different. Coach Knight had built he wasn't Branch McCracken, but at IU he was Bob Knight with different expectations. Coach Hall's expectations were as difficult as any coach, short of following Coach Wooden, you could ever have, ever, ever. And I said, well, Billy, Billy, it didn't exactly come off like that. He goes, I know, but that's what I meant. I feel bad. He said, I admire Joe Hall. I said, I know, Billy. So thank you for asking me. Thank you for asking me. That's coming from a gentleman who sat right with Billy Reed, you know, for 45 minutes or an hour, you know, 3 weeks ago. I mean, he did not. Thank you. I'm so glad you asked.
Well,
and I understand how people felt like that. I do understand. But you know what? It's like coaching basketball. You know, you can read an article, and there's always going to be some subjectivity. Would you agree?
Sure. Of course.
Okay. It's like me this morning. Monday, we have a crazy class schedule. We got four kids in graduate school. It's crazy. We had to have film this morning at 7 o'clock. You know what my decision was? I get to go have this film session, or I have to go. That's a big difference. Well, you can look at Billy's piece on Coach Hall and say, well, you know, Billy meant or probably was implying this, or you could jump on the edge and go after him and all that. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's classic. It was classic. It was a classic Billy Reed. Just take it at face
and
value.
I sit there in his room. Billy. Let's face it. I'm not objective because I'm a Billy Reed, you know, loyalist. I mean, I own that. I totally own that.
Exactly. It's funny because I've had over the last 48 hours, I've had a couple of conversations with people from the Ville, and it's about 50-50.
I heard you say about Eric Crawford going on. Eric Crawford's piece was extraordinary. I mean, well, you're talking about something that was written from the heart. I thought Eric Crawford, you know, touched every base, every bit of Billy Reed's legacy. And I think what we need to do is what smart people do. We need to wear people out that want to help us, our opportunities to learn. And I think Billy Reed's one of those opportunities. I really do.
Nice. Coach, this was even under the circumstance, a real pleasure. I've got tons of friends that are Bellarmine grads, and even though I've never had a chance to come see a game, I root for them just for that reason, and because I love the Ville, and a real honor to have you on to speak on Billy's behalf.
You know, Steve, 4 years ago, I got a surprise from my youngest son. And he said, I've already checked. He said, you can't deny this. It's already done. Calendar's cleared. We're leaving on Friday. We're coming back Monday night. But you cannot deny this. And we spent 3 days in Saratoga. We stayed with Dallas Sturt. I ran every morning through all kinds of neighborhoods. And, boy, you'd be hard-pressed from a kid that grew up on Central Avenue to be at Saratoga the first week of August, where, honestly, nobody was worried about Major League Baseball or the NBA or college football. They were worried about horse racing.
Exactly.
And that Saturday morning when they open up and everybody rushed in is unlike anything I've ever seen in sports. Because they left everything and went home and came back and nobody touched it.
No doubt.
Great, one of the greatest weekends a dad could have with a son, without a doubt. No doubt.
I love it.
So kudos to everybody at Saratoga from a guy from Central Avenue, believe me, who snuck in Churchill Downs a lot in his life, believe me.
Can't do that anymore.
No sneaking in these days. When there was nine races every day. Never race on Sunday. when they went on the track for the seventh, not when they, after the sixth, when they went
right.
on the track for the post parade.
The gates.
You got in free.
Yeah.
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 Every day.
Absolutely.
Every day.
Same thing. Saratoga, too, actually.
Leaving. You spied on people leaving to grab their program. Either they
yep.
hand it to you or you watch them throw it away and you go grab it. Oh, that's Scott Davenport. There ain't no question about that.
Well, the that little barbershop across Taylor Avenue behind the Speedway there, Central
Carter Boulevard, absolutely.
Well, I used to get a haircut there every during the 2 week lead up to Derby every year, and he told stories about taking those programs and then turning around and selling them to people that were showing up late.
Sure. Well, Steve, boy, you've really touched home now. That neighborhood barbershop.
Yeah. Yeah, his son. His son's in the military.
She owned the neighborhood. She owned the neighborhood beauty shop.
Too funny. Well, I got another.
No,
I got another.
Thank you. Thank
my
you
pleasure.
Silly. I appreciate
wow.
it. Thank you.
Scotty Davenport, everybody. Bellarmine Hoops on Twitter if you're not following Scott. And he spoke beautifully the other night after the game on all over Twitter. And we'll get to Bellarmine. I got to get to Bellarmine in April. We're going to have a visit from Judy Klapes now, and Judy publishes the Northern Kentucky Tribune, Judy, I pretty much, if I had opened the floodgates here, I would have had a 3-hour show. I probably could do a show every day this week with tributes to Billy Reid. Good morning.
Good morning, and yes, you could do a show every day this week about Billy. I'm sure you've had a lot of great comments already today. Everybody loved Billy, who is a journalist. And gosh, we're so proud to have him associated with us. He started with the Tribune on the day we launched and
wow.
has been writing a weekly column for us since then. And in fact, last May, Billy got his credentials for his 53rd Derby as a representative of Northern Kentucky Tribune.
Hmm.
Man, was he proud of that. He loved horse racing. And he loved UL basketball. He didn't like UK basketball. No mincing any words about it. He hated the intrusion of money into college sports. He wrote about that a lot. He loved to play golf, but he wasn't terribly good at it. So Billy meant no words. He knew where he stood. And in later columns sometimes were political, so I had to run them in the opinion section and not the sports section.
Hmm.
He had pretty strong political views, too.
Yeah.
So I think he said exactly what he meant.
That didn't sit well with everybody over the years either.
Absolutely, it did not. But that was Billy. He was a crotchety old guy right to the end.
Well,
isn't that partly what we loved about him?
No doubt, and part of what's so amazing about Kentucky as a state and as a a place to live and work is its incredible diversity and several things about Billy when you mix them all together made him just fascinating and engaging.
Well, 60 years of experience as a reporter, gosh. We lost a lot when we lost Billy because that institutional memory and the love of Kentucky, he loved Kentucky. And he was passionate about what he was passionate about. And you have to admire a guy like that. He spoke up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the end, he wrote his last column for us in December. And he had written earlier about the first fall he took at his alma mater. He loved Transylvania University as well. Took a fall in May at Transylvania. And said he just blacked out and fell into the pavement. And that was the start of his decline. So that's when he started walking with the Louisville Slugger bat cane, which his friends called a chick magnet. And he said, you know, that's true. I get stopped by a lot of women wanting to look at that bat cane. So he was good at making a joke out of the worst possible time in his life. But he took a serious fall just before Labor Day, last fall, and ended up with fractured ribs that put him into the hospital and rehab. And he wrote, it was the first time he ever missed a deadline. He was not happy about the cracked ribs, but he was less happy about having missed a deadline.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the first deadline he ever missed. Elvis delivered his column to us on a Saturday, and that day he tried to write it from his hospital room, and the technology confounded him, as it does most of us who have ink in our veins. The technology can be foreboding when you can't get the connection, or you can't charge your computer up in the hospital room. These were Billy's frustrations. Yeah.
Judy, and you're...
He was not a happy camper. But he did get us a column that we ran on Monday instead of Sunday.
Well, you know, your own career basically parallels his, and you know, you've had as distinguished a career in, you know, from really the, you know, from Lexington up to Northern Kentucky, and you really kind of ran parallel to his.
In many ways, yes. Billy got an earlier start than I did, so he had a few years on me, but I was always an admirer of Billy's work. So when he, quote, retired, I recruited him to our online newspapers as a columnist, and I recruited a lot of seasoned journalists who have a lot of knowledge and talent left in them after they, quote, retire.
Hmm.
So Billy was enthusiastic about coming to work for us because he could continue to cover the Derby. He could continue to write about the things he was interested in. So we were proud to have him.
Well, and he showed up in so many different kinds of publications, too.
We do.
Yeah.
We're a nonprofit newspaper, for one thing.
Nice.
We're not in it to make money, which is, you know, if money in sports is college sports downfall, then big money in newspapering has been the downfall of local newspapers. So my late husband and I started the Northern Kentucky Tribune in a place we loved, Northern Kentucky, which had been our home for many years, and it was missing its local newspaper, so now it has one, even if it's online. But as a nonprofit, we share our content with anybody who wants it, so we do get around.
How do, and for those that would want to find it, Northern...
NKYTribune.com.
NKYTribune.com.
Free to readers.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Because you had the Kentucky Forward for a period.
We did. 10 years we did Kentucky Forward.
Right.
And just couldn't sustain it financially. We didn't get the support from the Lexington community like we're getting from Northern Kentucky for the Tribune.
Nice. Well... Judy, I wanted you to visit as someone who brought Billy to, you know, another generation of readers and sports fans and racing fans. I'm absolutely.
And that's kind of the point, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So why lose these rich resources?
Exactly.
Because somebody doesn't want to pay them anymore, or, you know, they're retired and considered, you know, ready to go out to pasture. No journalist really wants to do that.
No, they really don't. They'll go at the typewriter if that's
they want to die with
if that's
man.
Exactly. Exactly, right? Exactly. Judy, thanks so much for this. I appreciate it, and thanks for bringing Billy, Billy's voice out to more, to more people.
Well, really, truly, my privilege to do so, and thank you for recognizing his contribution to journalism and to the sports world. Man, we've lost a strong voice.
Yeah. There's no
love
doubt.
Him or hate him.
exactly, and both emotions are valuable. To have that was his best attribute, that he would provoke those kinds of opposite extremes. So, Judy, thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
It makes us think, doesn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Is that the whole purpose? We should think about what we believe, and if Billy challenged us to do that, which he certainly did,
exactly,
then more power to it.
Judy Klaibs, everybody.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Not at all. Judy Klaibs and Scott Davenport and Jenny Reese. Earlier, Jerry Bailey joining MIG. We had a lot of fun. Dave Duggan and Safi Joseph. Tomorrow, Brad Cox, Andy Serling, much, much more. Good luck today. Mahoning Valley's canceled for the day. They've got after effects of the bad weather. So no Mahoning Valley today. Philly maybe. Parks, how about Parks today? We'll talk to you in the morning, everybody. Replay 6 to 9 and stevebick.com for archive podcast. Talk to you tomorrow.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.